Empire. He dives further into the Mueller report and looks at the current crisis in Venezuela. At 10, it's the Heather McCoy Show. Heather welcomes the Washington editor of The Intercept, Ryan Grimm, to talk about the recent Politico profile of The Intercept and his forthcoming book on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Meg Vogt, author of the new book of photographs and poems, MYKU, My Portland. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk. They will speak with Portland-born author Mitchell S. Jackson about his book, Survival Math. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Cotton Cloud Natural Beds and Furniture, women-owned since 1981, providing sustainable wood furniture, locally handcrafted futons, latex mattresses, and more using organic and natural materials. The Cotton Cloud Showroom is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Online at cottoncloudfutons.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Zenith Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Thursday, May 2nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland. This is the fourth community forum about Zenith Energy's ongoing expansion of the Portland Tar Sands Oil Facility. The panel will discuss how this facility's operations can harm people, urban wildlife, rivers, and air quality, as well as background on the terminal site, climate justice impacts, ideas for public action, and more. Again, that's the Zenith Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Thursday, May 2nd from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church, 2710 Northeast 14th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Roots in Harmony Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective benefit on Saturday, May 4th at 6 p.m. at the Wayfinding Academy in Portland. Roots in Harmony is the third annual benefit show and silent auction to support the Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective. There will be live music and theater performances, a seasonally inspired meal, a silent auction, and more. Again, that's the Roots in Harmony Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective benefit on Saturday, May 4th at 6 p.m. at the Wayfinding Academy, 8010 North Charleston Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. You know, some weeks I'm excited about the political process, and some weeks the political process breaks my heart. And this week I'm in the break your heart process. So we've been rallying around making sure that we have enough money for our public education system. And the legislature has been working on a bill, House Bill 3427. And the legislative proposal would raise some taxes that would be specifically focused on reducing class sizes and helping in the classroom to make sure all kids have a fair share. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm 100% behind public education. I'm 100% behind finding more resources to go into the classroom to support education excellence. This particular bill, however, has one of those things that I call legislative poison pills. This particular bill has a provision that would prohibit local governments from raising resources any way they want to support local community efforts. This makes my blood run a little hot because I know how hard the coalition in Portland worked to get the Portland Clean Energy Fund initiative not just developed, but actually going out and talking to people about the importance of local communities being able to organize and control their destiny. So we have our slimy business community, and only the slimy ones are am I talking about. We have some excellent businesses in Oregon. But there are some behind closed door deals being made, and a legislative body that has a supermajority progressive, so we're told. And so when I heard that this bill would basically prevent any city or county from enhancing taxes on corporations, and as we know, most corporations don't pay their fair share today of taxes. They don't support the infrastructure. They don't support helping make sure that Portland and Oregon continues to be a thriving state. No, instead, they go and cut these deals with legislators behind closed doors, and they sell it to us as you can't say anything because this is $2 billion for the kids. Well, no matter what you do for the kids, there is absolutely no way that you can fund a child's education on the backs of their parents. If their parents don't have a living wage job, if their parents aren't able to afford the rent, if their parents are being pushed further and further into poverty, $2 billion for education will mean nothing. If you're sleeping in your car, we have kids today who go to three different school districts in 1 year because their parents are forced to move because they cannot afford to live here. I am so annoyed because, remember, we had a preemption against rent control long before Oregon had a problem with high-cost rent. Now, why do you think that was? The home builders got that put into statute decades ago. And look how long it took us to get it out when we needed to actually have a local effort to support local community members. I am annoyed, as you can probably tell. And so it's not just about my annoyance. I hope you're as annoyed as I am and that you will call your legislators today. Now, my understanding is this bill has already, it either will or is has already passed out of the House, and it is headed to the Senate. And I know that Senator Lou Frederick's is actually on the committee that will hear this bill. I can't even get online this morning to find out who else is on the committee. But all you have to do is just go and Google it if you don't know who your state representative is or your state senator. But they need to know that we expect a supermajority progressive legislative body to be able to do both. To be able to provide for economic opportunity at the same time they provide a quality education for kids in Oregon. So you can see what's got my blood boiling this morning. Have you been following the legislature? Because I've been a little busy at the city because, as you may know, the mayor's budget came out yesterday. And I will talk about that in the second half of the program. But tell me what else is going on in Salem. I feel like now I am out of the loop. The number to call here to join the conversation is 503-231-8187. Now, it just amazes me that this is even a thing that we would have to fight. It also amazes me that this was allowed to be added. I understand this is now up to like 47 amendments. And so I expect every legislator that votes for this package to know exactly what's in it. But what really makes me mad is that we know those same business interests that wrote in their own safeguard will be the ones that will force this to the ballot, so we will end up having to defend it once the legislative session is over. And so I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. I know that there are wonderful people, wonderfully committed people serving in our legislative body, but this just makes me crazy. I don't get why we would allow businesses to get off scot-free, why we would take away local communities' abilities to raise taxes to support local community efforts. If you've got an answer to that, give me a call, 503-231-8187. If you think about even with the Portland Clean Energy Fund Initiative, which will start bringing in somewhere between $80 and $100 million new dollars starting in 2020, if you think about the hard work that we did to make that happen And it was only because local government was unresponsive. We took this to the city council. We talked to every city council member, and nobody wanted to touch it because they wanted to wait and see what would happen in Salem around the climate justice bill. And here we are in another legislative session, and we still don't have another climate action bill through the legislative body. But we're willing to give businesses a free ride. I think that is absolutely inexcusable, and I don't care what part of the state you live in, you will be impacted by the fact that your local governments can't raise taxes and fees to support local priorities. Give me a call, 503-231-8187. You know, some days I say I'm a little paranoid, but it's interesting. As long as I've been here at KBOO, I've never had any problems getting online. And all of a sudden today, I can't get online with any of my electronic devices. But I am not paranoid. Oh, no, not me. Because I know what I know. And I know that having community members call their state senators and their state representatives, because ultimately this will... the changes that happen in the Senate will have to be approved in the House. And so we have an opportunity to actually make sure that these hidden giveaways are not going to impact the local community's ability to decide how they want to tax local businesses to support local efforts. I mean, if you think about it, there's so many things. The minimum wage would have never been raised if we had left it to some of these big business interests assist us. That was another community-led effort. If you think about all the good things that have happened around legislative proposals, they've happened because community members took the lead and did not allow businesses to either scare us into voting for bad stuff or to hide stuff and then not give us an opportunity to weigh in. I have not heard any legislator talk about this particular provision in this bill, and it's not by accident that this bill passed the House with almost no opposition. Again, the number is House Bill 3427, and it's really, really, really important that we make sure that your local state senator knows from you that we can do both. I think that's really the message. The message is we can do both. We should not be pitting kids against their parents for economic opportunity. That should not be how a progressive legislative body passes laws. And, you know, I keep hearing this is a compromise between what and what is my question. It seems really clear to me that this is a giveaway, once again, to the people who have the most resources to be able to impact the outcome of our education and our economic opportunities. It just boggles the mind that this, you know, we have a supermajority of both houses of progressives, and we are giving businesses a giveaway to allow them not to pay their fair share. So, okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox because it's just making me mad and it's making my blood pressure go up. And we all know that that is not a good thing. But again, I want to make sure that you remember the bill number, because that's basically all you have to do. I would love to see people calling their legislative offices and just tying up their phones. And of course, they listen to phone messages. They listen to emails. If there's town hall scheduled, I don't know about you, but I would certainly be at my state senator and House members' town hall asking about how they could support such a lopsided benefit. Especially, again, like I know that the business community will organize and say, oh, this tax is too big. It's going to kill small business. The same argument they use over and over and over again. And so we will end up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars defending this legislative action that basically has us defending them getting a free ride as far as supporting local investments. This is crazy. This makes absolutely no sense. Give me a call at 503-231-8187 and let me know, weigh in on this particular topic, but also let me know what else is going on in the legislative body. I feel a little disconnected because, again, at the city, the mayor released his budget yesterday, and I'm going to have a little bit to say about that a little while later. But I am looking forward to the conversation because just like at the state level, we at the city, we have some big issues that we have to address. And it's going to take all of us, all five of us on the city council, to make sure that we are looking as creatively and innovatively as possible as we move forward with that budget. But on the Portland Clean Energy Fund initiative, I think it's important for people to understand that there are voters in Salem and Eugene and Ashland and Hood River who were watching Portland to see whether or not communities of color could organize and convince voters that it was the right thing to do to invest in climate mitigation at a time where we've got lots of resolutions about climate justice and climate change, but no real practical on-the-ground solutions to having a huge impact on how our climate is impacted by fossil fuel and a whole lot of other new green energy innovations. Speaking of green energy, I read this week that there was a bill in Salem that would allow a garbage incinerator to claim itself as a clean energy resource and be able to achieve tax credits from the state of Oregon. That bill was introduced by, I believe, Representative Beyer, which, again, it's like Oregon has done a good job of using words that describe a progressive agenda. But as you look at the outcomes, you find out that we've been sold a bill of goods over and over and over again. And as someone who's inside the power structure, I can tell you that I believe government is honorable and can do good things for its people, but everything depends on us passing the right legislation with the right checks and balances and making sure that those with the most resources pay the most to improve the conditions of our city, our counties, and our state. And when I look at stuff like this particular bill, House Bill 3427, and I look at legislative proposals like garbage incinerators in other countries are perceived as clean energy, so therefore Oregon should too, is absolutely outrageous. I guess I should not be as surprised now after reading the series that the Oregonian did on how Oregon has the worst environmental laws and accountability of any of the West Coast cities. And they tied it directly to campaign contributions from polluters to allow them to get away with much more than they would ever get away with in Washington State or California. I got to tell you, I am so disappointed. I know we've got good people, but I don't know why this has not been an issue until someone brought this to my attention last week. It really bothers me that we would allow this to take place at a time when so many of our community members are suffering. I think we have a caller. Good morning, Tony. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
I'm glad you're bringing up this subject about the business organizations, because it just feels they are threatening our elected officials into doing what they want. So it doesn't really matter who we vote for, because they're just going to threaten them. And then once they go to the people, they hire all these, organizers to convince people to vote against their own interests.
What are they threatening them with? I mean, we got a supermajority of both houses and the governor. I mean, what's the threat? That they're going to pick up and take their business somewhere else?
No, I think the threat is that they're just going to take it to the people and then we have to go through that whole ordeal.
But they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway. They're either going to hide behind a Republican legislator or they're going to just do it as part of their business association. There's nothing that prevents them from taking this to the voters right after it passed.
Well, yeah, no, I totally agree with that. But one of the organizations made an agreement that they would stay neutral. I don't believe that.
Me either. Based on what, right?
Yeah, right. Anyway, I just wanted to encourage you because it makes me mad.
Me too. Is there anything else that you're following in Salem?
No. Well, no, I'm following it, but not good enough to talk about it.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate the call. And please call your state senator, call your House of Representative member, and tell them that this is just way, way, way below the standard that we expect from our legislative body.
I will do that.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Yeah,
have a good day. Bye-bye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to join this conversation. Good morning. Who's on the phone? Good morning, Larry.
Larry.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Joanne, I just want to tell you, out here in rural Oregon and Sheridan, you're a breath of fresh air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, but I just called my rep, Gomberg, who represents us here. But I was just wondering, can you tell me where the amendment, what the amendment is in the bill?
I can tell you that it's Section 67.
Okay.
And it's titled Local Tax Preemption.
That's what I want. Yeah, I just gave him an earful on the voicemail, but I'm going to keep calling other people. So
I greatly appreciate.
The only problem is one of our senator is you probably know him, that guy Ron Noble.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
Boy, he's a terror. So okay, well, good job, and it's great to hear you on Thursday. Give us reports of what's going on in the city.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. And by the way, this amendment was -21 for anyone who's interested. That might be too much devils in the detail. But just like the gentleman who just called, it's amazing when legislators ask you to tell them where to find the little poison pill that was added. I think that this is really outrageous, and I think this must disappear, and it must be brought to the light of day. If I could get online, I could find out who actually submitted the -21 amendments, but unfortunately, I can't do that at the moment. But you will be able to do that if you're able to get online. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Jay. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, City Councilwoman Hardesty. How are you?
I am good. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually in Salem right now. I've been doing some work down here, and so I have been following a lot of the legislation pretty closely.
Good.
And I wanted to share something with you. A lot of the bills that have been passed this session have preemptions on them, and they are typically the most unpopular part of any legislation that's being passed right now. And Republican legislators especially are frustrated with the preemptions because it further leads them to believe that legislation is being passed for the Portland urban area and their communities aren't able to adjust laws to suit their needs with the new legislation going in. So that's consistent with a lot of legislation happening right now. And I think you're right. It is a concession to businesses saying we're going to raise your taxes, but we'll guarantee that municipalities can't raise them any further.
Which is insane, since the legislature is sending much less money to municipalities for their basic needs to be met.
That's right. Yeah, there's another bill that regulates Uber and Lyft statewide.
Oh, yes.
And that also has a preemption that's very unpopular, especially with Republicans. Which is interesting.
Oh, and let me tell you, with Democrats as well. I mean, I don't think here are companies that just bully their way into town, ignore the rules and regulations that were in place, cut a
that's
deal
right.
behind closed doors, and now they're mm-hmm. trying to go to the legislature to prevent local regulations. If we can't
right.
regulate transportation options in our own community at a time mm-hmm. where we're all concerned about the climate, that's please give me that bill number.
Oh, I wish I had it in front of me. I'm in my car right now, but I could email it to you later.
Please email it to me later. I forgot about that one. Thank you. I actually thought that common sense would have killed that one dead.
But, right.
But I'm so yes. When as soon as you find that, and maybe one of our listeners will find it and give us a call.
Sure thing.
Anything else
more thing
we should
about the super? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say anything else that we should be alerted to just before we get to these final legislative votes.
Sure. Well, I've been asking some of the same questions you're asking in the department I'm working in. And a lot of what I'm hearing is staffers are saying there is a supermajority, but there's a lot of moderates on there. And so there is some pushback against more progressive legislation because the moderates don't want to tip the boat too far, if that makes sense.
Oh, you know, as a former legislator, I've heard that argument for 30 years, right?
Right.
But the reality is that what people want is courageous leadership. What they
Absolutely.
Want are people with a vision, and mm-hmm. what they thought they were voting for. That's why Rod Monroe is no longer a state senator, because people got fed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just hope that legislators are remembering why they have a supermajority and not assuming that it was some mandate on them cutting these kind of deals behind closed doors. Because quite frankly, if we wanted those kind of deals, we'd have voted for other people.
Absolutely. There's one more thing I want to share really quickly.
Okay.
And so I've looked at some of these moderates and the elections that they, their most recent election wins. And some of these people are running uncontested repeatedly.
Yes.
And so there's just nobody else stepping up in their district.
Yes.
To say, I have a more progressive vision. And
yes.
if there was, they would be definitely challenged to keep their seat.
Exactly.
So that's something to think about.
Well, I mean, thank you for saying that, because you're absolutely right. Now's the time to start thinking about 2020 and who's going to be representing us, because this is absolutely ridiculous when you have the power to have a progressive vision, and what you do behind closed door is really limit any opportunity for and then it's local control, any opportunity mm-hmm. for local communities to control their own destiny. If Salem was so good at controlling local destinies, we would all be flush with resources and would not need to go to the legislature to lobby for anything.
That's right. And it perpetuates the division between rural and urban Oregon, too.
Well, I hope it's funny how my calls today have been from rural areas saying, right on, Joanne, right on, which is, right? I know that we have much more in common and we have differences. I know rural communities absolutely want their local control. They do not want Salem deciding what they can and cannot do. This is not rocket science, right? You don't have to live mm-hmm. in rural Oregon to know that they have a right to decide what they want to do in their local community. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your call. I feel like I'm lecturing at you, and I don't mean to be
you. I love this conversation, so keep it up.
Well, me too. You have an absolutely fabulous day, and keep doing what you're doing, and keep exposing these poison pills that people are assuming are just the cost of doing business. I reject
that
notion.
I absolutely agree with you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm trying to get my blood pressure to go down. I'm trying to calm. I'm trying not to assume bad motives. But clearly, if this is a Dash 21 amendment, I want to know who submitted that amendment so that I can out them on my Facebook page. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to KBOO.
Yes, thank you, Joanne. I wanted to bring up the issue of Senate Bill 10.
All right.
Which Joe Uris has covered on his show, and this is a bill that would allow high-density building, high-density apartments within a half a mile of all transit lines. The big problem with this is that it circumvents local zoning, and it cuts out the local residents in the area from having any kind of say in, you know, what kind of building is going to be going up in their area. And
right.
there is no there is no, you know, there's no, in other words, the developers do not have to build any kind of low-income housing. There's no requirement for that. And so I just think this is a really bad bill. Mm. It's sort of flown in under the radar. To the best of my knowledge, it is currently in the Rules Committee.
Okay. Is it still in the Senate, or is it in the House now?
No, I think it's still in the Senate, but I'm not absolutely sure about that. But I just think this is just a big giveaway to developers, and it's not going to take into consideration quality of life issues.
Right.
They're not going to be, the developers will not be required to have to do any kind of infrastructure
improvements. Really, they won't be paying SCDs, systems development charges.
As far as I know, they won't. No.
I will check that. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, the whole reason why we have systems development charges is to ensure that developers pay for transit improvements, infrastructure, sidewalks, lighting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. My understanding is that they won't, also they will not have to provide any kind of parking for the residents. So, you know, this in itself is going to create problems.
Well, I agree with you. If what you've told me is an accurate description of the bill does seem to be a giveaway to developers, and it does not take into account that different communities have different needs around those transit centers. I can tell you with the fact that housing is an issue all over the state, and what we call affordable housing isn't really quite affordable for people who are working 2 and 3 minimum wage jobs. In fact, it's amazing. In the Portland metro area, the median income, when they say the median income, which means the median area income, is $72,500. Most people don't make that. And so when you say you're building at 80%, you're still talking about having to make $50,000 a year. And a lot of people aren't making that. And so it is frustrating when we see these developments going up all over town that are sitting empty because the people who need housing can't afford to live in those units.
No, I absolutely agree. And I hope this, and I really hope this bill will be stopped.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for your call. Greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Who else do we have on the phone line? Good morning, Karen. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne. Hi. Welcome back to KBOO.
Thank you.
I wanted to inform you about Senate Bill 1008 that reforms Oregon's juvenile justice system.
Uh-huh.
And it did pass the Senate on April 16th with a 20-10 vote. It does need a two-thirds majority vote in both houses. And it does, right now we're sending 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. We're prosecuting them as adults under Measure 11. And Senate Bill 1008 would make the juvenile system the default placement for youth.
I love that bill.
Yes, and there's more. Unless a judge decides to transfer the youth to the adult system, it also establishes where all youth who are convicted in adult court have access to a second look hearing halfway through their sentence, and the judge at that time can determine whether the youth can safely go in, back into the community and under community supervision to serve the remainder of their sentence. It also requires an additional review before a youth with a long sentence could be transferred to from the Oregon Oregon Youth Authority, the juvenile system, to an adult prison at age 25. And also, it eliminates life without parole sentences for youth. And it also has some services for survivors of crime in that bill. Now, it is in the House Judiciary Committee currently, But it does need two-thirds majority vote.
Yes, because we are changing a vote of the voters, and it is, what is it, constitutional? I can't remember.
No, it is
a statutory. Okay.
But Kevin Mannix and Lauren Parks did, along with Measure 11 in 1994, we passed Measure 10,
right,
which states that requires a two-thirds vote for any measures,
yes,
passed by Oregon voters, and they tag that on to Measure 11.
Right, which is why it takes so much to actually make any progressive changes to these very draconian mandatory minimum sentences that ballot Measure 11 represented. I understand the District Attorneys Association is out in full force in opposition.
Absolutely.
which we should totally understand, because it takes it out of the hands of the district attorney and puts the decision making in the hands of a judge, which in my opinion is a much more balanced approach to whether or not a young person should be treated as an adult or as a juvenile. Thank you so much. Senate Bill 10-1008.
Yes.
And so it is passed out. It is currently in the House.
It's in the House Judiciary.
In House Judiciary. All right. I know that.
Come to the House for a vote, but please, everyone, contact their representatives. Senate Bill 10-08.
Thank you so much for the call. Thank you for
Thank you.
Yes, that would be a huge move to ensure that we're not just throwing away kids' lives for stupid things that kids do, because being a kid, you do stupid stuff. There should
be
an opportunity for them to rehabilitate and reconnect to our community. So thank you for your call. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Arthur. Welcome to K-Book. Hello, Arthur, are you there? I can't hear Arthur, so... Good morning, Mark. Welcome to K-Book.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am good. I think my blood pressure is a little high, but other than that, I'm good. How about you?
It's high too with these discussions. I went to a coffee meeting with Alyssa Caney Geyer somewhere around December, I think just before Christmas.
Right.
And she was talking about all the housing bills coming through,
mm-hmm,
and with all the preemption, and I believe new developments also get a 15-year break on things like no cause evictions and rent control. And a couple of questions I have is, how can anything come out of the housing committee under Alyssa unless she totally buys into it? The other thing she mentioned was these bills had been discussed, like you said, in behind the scenes, and there was a commitment from the legislators not to allow any amendments, and that they also allowed developers to participate in the writing of the laws. And what is going on, not only with my representatives, but with the Democratic Party in general, where they're allowing businesses to just write these laws now and get 10 or 15 or 20 year exemptions from any of the requirements?
Well, I, like you, expect much more courageous leadership, especially as we look at the people who are suffering all around the state. I just learned about the House bill that I was talking about earlier, House Bill 3427, because the only part that people talk about is that it's $2 billion for education. But they're not talking about how it will absolutely ruin other opportunities. So, I mean, I think that's a good question for your legislator and all the other legislators that will be telling us how progressive they are when they are running for reelection.
In addition to the finances at the state level, there's two things that I wanted to comment that might be in your area of influence. One is, I think they're, what do they call them, the SDCs, the Supplemental Development Charges?
Systems Development Charges, yes.
I think a lot of those are going to maintenance and not to, for instance, the parks SDCs might be going into rehabbing a building or adding a new stall in a bathroom, but they're not going to add new parks. And the SDCs, I think, are being not spent. Well, let me give you an example. In Vancouver,
you know,
BC, everywhere you go, there's a community center. Yes?
Let me just say that I don't know that kind of wee detail about the park budget. The park commissioner is Nick Fish. But if you want to send me something in writing, because we could go down a rabbit hole here, and I can tell you,
all right.
I have no info on that. All right?
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
No worry. Have a great day. And what's coming up today on the Boo at 9 Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire dives further into the Mueller report and looks at the current crisis in Venezuela. At 10 is the Heather McCoy Show. Heather welcomes the Washington editor of the Incept, Ryan Grimm, to talk about the recent political profile of The Intercept and his forthcoming book on Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Meg Voigt, author of the new book of photography and poems, MYKU, My Portland. At 11:30, Black Book Talk talks to Portland-born author Mitchell S. Jackson about his book, Survival Math. All of these KBOO programs are made possible because of people just like you. We greatly appreciate our members. And if you're not a member yet, give us go online at kboo.fm and hit the donate button. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Arthur. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I am knocked out by all the talk that you've got going. It's exciting it's exciting that you're making Portland think. So thank you so much for your energy.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You touch on so many different subjects. I'm going to just I know other people are waiting in line. Let me just run. My name is Arthur. I called last week. One thing you talked about was a clean energy initiative.
Right.
And I said last week that the city of Portland is pretty slow to put wind turbines on top of their buildings.
Oh, yes. I remember that conversation, Arthur.
Right. If you could please bring that up with the city council and try to get some wind turbines up there to make electricity for those very buildings that they're on top of,
you're right.
Make a real difference.
You're right.
Do that for me.
You are right that we should have this conversation offline. What else you got on your list?
Let's see here. Education. That was the next thing, and a little quick talk about corruption here. I've got a degree in mathematics. I'm licensed to teach in the state of Oregon. My last job was teaching at Benson High School as a summer school teacher, where I taught a credit recovery dropout prevention program. Excellent high school, excellent leadership over at that high school. But I've got to say this. A lot of funding is going towards new renovation at that school. Right? And buying new computers and electronic gadgets at the school. I think they need to reallocate more of that $600 million for that high school towards decreased class sizes.
Well, you do understand, Arthur, that was a bond measure that was sold to the voters to support the renovation and upgrades of those schools. That is separate from the money that comes from Salem. That is also separate from the other levy that we pay to bring additional teachers and supplies into the school. Also separate from the arts tax that we pay that brings money into the schools.
But let me make a quick point. I grew up in a very rural school with very small class size and excellent teachers, but not in a very great building.
Right.
I don't think it's the building that makes the education.
What I'm explaining, Arthur, if I could stop you for just a sec. Let me explain this.
Yeah, absolutely.
The voters said yes. They wanted new buildings. They wanted upgraded technology.
Okay.
And they voted to tax themselves to give more money for that. So we can talk about waste or we could talk about corruption, but you have to know what buckets of money we're talking about. And so the money you're talking about was raised specifically.
Well, obviously you're a realist.
Well, obviously I'm a former legislator. I currently serve on the city council, so I know something about how budgets work. And so I will support you if what you're saying is true.
Let me just ask you a question.
All right. This is the last one because I got to go. Okay.
I know. People are awake.
Right.
That last money, that last where people you say voted to do this voluntarily.
Right.
How much did big corporate construction companies, how much did they influence the discussion there? And can I leave you with something more positive?
Please, 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 Arthur.
Thank you. Here we go. I'm trying to do this. Local power is real power. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you very much, Arthur. You have a fabulous day, okay?
You too.
Thank you. Oh, Arthur's making me work. He's making me work hard, but I am greatly appreciative of his call. I mean, and I'm happy to be able to dispel some myths that people have about kind of how money is spent. And you can't blame people for not knowing because, after all, the city has a $6 billion budget. And so there's no way that people are going to know how all those dollars come together without asking questions. The same is also true for Portland Public Schools. They've got many funding sources, and many of them were voted on by the public. I just read that the public will be asked to once again vote on some additional funding. And once again, Portland Public Schools will have to make the case for why they should get additional funding from the public. And so that is, I am happy to say that once again, KBOO listeners have been really, really good at giving us a heads up on what's happening at the legislative body. So Senate Bill 10 is the zoning bill. I still don't know the bill number for the Uber Lyft one that would preempt local communities from, again, raising taxes and doing restrictions for how they operate. I mean, as soon as somebody finds out the bill number, we will post it online because it is important that that bill is stopped. And if it's not stopped, it's important to put pressure on the governor to veto it because it is absolutely inexcusable that, I mean, and Uber and Lyft are those kind of companies that really make you crazy. So basically, they're the middlemen between somebody who's driving their own personal car, putting their own personal gas in it, taking all the wear and tear, and some company who it doesn't even actually live in Portland, and they're gathering money right off the top. And because Portland gets 50 cents a ride, they're gathering tax money off the top. But that doesn't mean that we should not be regulating how and when they operate, especially if we're talking about this climate change and making sure that we're using clean energy. I mean, if we were going to allow private companies to just come and operate with other people's hardware, then we should have the ability to put some really hard, fast rules on how that process happens. And Uber and Lyft should not be able to go to the legislature behind closed doors and preempt local communities from doing what they think is best. I was going to spend some time talking about the city's budget, but I think I will just wait and have that conversation when we're going to have more time. I will say to you, though, that I have realized that every Thursday morning is a bit much for me to be able to be here from 8 to 9. So I am going to start doing this show every other week. And so the first and third Thursdays, I'll be here. And you will have new voices that will be here on the weeks that I am not here. I am so happy to be back at KBOO. I don't want to give up this spot, this opportunity. And so I just want to make sure that I balance my new job, which is a 9-to-9 job, with my old loves, which are KBOO and some of the boards and commissions that I serve on. And so I have worked that out locally here. And so don't worry, if you tune in on a Thursday morning and I'm not here, you should probably listen, because it's going to be somebody that you're going to want to hear from. But I will be back the next week, unless vacations or travel takes me elsewhere. But just wanted to make sure you knew that. Don't want to freak people out thinking, oh no, she disappeared again. Where is she going? But I love, love, love being back on KBOO, and I see this as a wonderful partnership. I also want to give a shout out to Street Roots, because the mayor's budget did include $500,000 for us to start the implementation of the Portland street response, so that we can start changing who shows up at 911 calls to provide assistance to people who are in crisis. And so I am grateful that the mayor made that investment in his preliminary budget. But I will also be bringing forth some recommendations for other opportunities to maybe shift what we fund and how we fund it before we end up voting on a full package, which I understand will be in June. We will have a budget form on the 14th of May. That is open to the public, will be recorded, but will be a conversation primarily between the mayor and the commissioners, unless there are others who are invited to participate. And as well as the city's budget advisory committee. I think that this is going to be an opportunity to really start walking our talk and actually investing in the things we say we care about. I think the mayor has done a good job in an initial proposal, but I'm certainly looking forward to unpacking some real details around his budget proposal and talking to my colleagues to see if we have the opportunity to do better. I believe we do, and I'm very excited about getting to the end of my very first budget process. It is a lot to take in. It's a lot of new information. It's been a very fun process when it hasn't been annoying and frustrating. I have a caller on the line. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I was waiting. I really appreciate the fact that you're there and you're discussing issues here locally. Awesome. But then you made that point about the fact you just can't do it all. You're right. So every other Thursday is going to be there, and
that is
I'll faithfully be right there. What's the possibility of getting Nick Fish to maybe do the other day, if you will, the other Thursday, every other Thursday? He seems somewhat conservative and whatever, and so this way we can at least get another version, another side. Okay, that's just a thought.
Bennett, and I'm not in that. I mean, I think if he wanted a KBOO radio show, I'm pretty sure he knows where KBOO is, and I'm pretty sure he knows the phone number. And I am not here to advocate on behalf of Nick Fish. I think he's a big boy. He can do it himself.
Okay, all right. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you know, you're pretty conservative yourself, so maybe you should be coming down here.
Well, I'm gonna say I handle the baton to you, but hey, just you know me, I'm open. I still got my own voter digest, which, by the way, you owe me an interview anyway.
I don't owe you anything, Bruce.
But since you've been doing the KBOO piece, I'm gonna just go on and continue just to listen. Good job.
Well, I thank you very much. You have a fabulous day. Always good to hear your voice. Take care of yourself.
Bye bye. Okay, bye bye.
Yes, I do know him. I wouldn't do that to somebody I didn't know. And so let me just leave you with these bill numbers. House Bill 3427 is the education funding bill. I think that we are a state that can do both. We can fund education as well as fund economic opportunity. And so I would encourage you to connect with your legislators and tell them that Section 67, the local tax preemption, is a poison pill that must be removed. Senate Bill 1008 is a bill that would actually move juveniles into a juvenile process rather than automatically sending them to adult court. This is absolutely long, long, long overdue. And if you think that this is happening because legislators now have a more compassionate approach to criminal justice, I don't want to dispel that. But what the reason is that we're going bankrupt because we're spending so much money on mandatory minimums that we cannot appropriately fund other necessary needed services. So not doing it just to be progressive, doing it because we will go bankrupt if we keep locking people up as DAs would like us to continue to do. Senate Bill 10, which is the zoning bill that appears to be a giveaway to developers. I haven't looked at it, but the gentleman who called made a compelling argument about why that bill actually would prevent affordable housing right where we need it, right at transit nodes, which it absolutely boggles the mind why we would allow that to happen. I'm not that concerned with no parking because, again, if we're moving to an energy a clean energy future, we should not be adding parking spots. We should not be allowing people to park for free when we are trying to clean up our environment. And last but not least, the last bill I do not have a number on, but it is the Uber Lyft bill that would preempt local communities from having local control about limiting where they operate or anything, or raising taxes or whatever it is. We do not need big business to go behind closed doors in Salem to put preemptions on anything that local governments can do to support their local communities. It just boggles the mind that it's even possible for them to be able to do it with a supermajority of progressives in Salem. I've got good friends in Salem. I hope they hear this broadcast. I hope you will call your own personal representative and senator and tell them that these bills are not what we expect out of a progressive legislative body. I understand compromise, but this is not compromise. This is giveaways. This is giveaways to those with the most and who pay the least proportionally to keep our community strong and vibrant. We've got a lot of work to do, Oregon, and I think people are paying closer attention. I think people are going to be very, very mindful of how their legislators vote on bills that really do just the opposite of what they tell us they do. People are getting smarter. Man, if we've learned nothing else from what's happening at the national level, is that we have to pay very, very, very close attention to the details. Because the headline is one thing, the details is where the devil is at. The devil's always in the details, and I expect so much more, and I hope you expect so much more, too. This has been wonderful, once again, to be here with you. So I won't be here next week, but I will be here the week after. And I think we're going to say, see you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Hope you're having a great day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth.
Good morning. It is 8:58. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up, it's Press Watch in just about 2 minutes. Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. Then at 9:30, Fight the Empire. Per Fogering dives further into the Mueller report and looks at the current crisis in Venezuela. At 10, it's the Heather McCoy Show. Heather welcomes the Washington editor of The Intercept, Ryan Grimm, to talk about the recent Politico profile of The Intercept and his forthcoming book on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Meg Vogt, author of the new book of photographs and poems, MYKU, My Portland. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk talks to Portland-born author Mitchell S. Jackson about his book, Survival Math. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Portland State University Hatfield School of Government, offering a new master's degree in nonprofit leadership for those who believe in the power of collective action for social change. More information online at pdx.edu/Hatfield School.
May is Asian and Pacific Islander American Heritage Month. So to recognize our Asian and Pacific Islander American identified community, KBOO will be airing all Asian and Pacific Islander programming from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Friday, May 3rd. That day, we'll be airing features from your favorite API KBOO programmers. Tune in to hear episodes of Lip Fantastic, APA Compass, DMA Roberts award-winning series, Crossing East, and an all-new Pacific Underground and music playlist by Sun Lee and DJ Diablo. That's Asian and Pacific Islander American Heritage Day, Friday, May 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. For more information and program schedule, just go to our website at kboo.fm.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Yesterday was May Day, and May Day is a big free speech day for the labor movement around the world, as well as being Beltane. I decided to celebrate the Beltane edge of it and went off and hung out by an oak tree where a hare showed up as if summoned. It was lovely. I was there with friends and lovers and only